Come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs. There met him out of the tombs a man, underline it, with an unclean spirit, singular. Verse 12, and all the devils, plural, besought him, saying, send us into the swine. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits, plural, went out. Verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. That's the Bible term. Verse 16, possessed with the devil. Verse 18, possessed with the devil. That's the term. Demon possession is nothing. That's just somebody made up. The term says possessed with the devil, not demons. Singular, the devil. All right, now there's a common teaching among fundamentalists that there's only one devil but many demons. How many ever heard that? You see hands? That's a standard heresy taught by all Christian schools. Now listen, there's one Son of God, right? Jesus Christ? How many of you are sons of God? Let me see your hands. You see? There's one Son of God, but there's many sons of God. There's the angel of the Lord, and there are angels of the Lord. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. There's one God, but there are many gods. There's one Lord, but there's many lords. 1 Corinthians 8. The Bible is a textbook. And if the Bible give light to some dumbbell that graduated from college and thought he had brains because he got a degree, those people in college don't even know what the answers are. They don't know what the questions are. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as there be gods many, and lords many, but to us there is but one God, and one Lord Jesus Christ. There's God, and there are gods. There's the Lord, and there are lords. There's the angel of the Lord, there's angels of the Lord. They're the Son of God, they're the sons of God. There is the devil, and there are devils. Now, in the passage you read, you got this. You got when a man is possessed with the devil gets a hold of him. And the devil gets a hold of him, that man is filled with an unclean spirit, singular. And that unclean spirit is composed of unclean spirits, plural. And those unclean spirits are called devils, because they come from the devil. Now that's the scripture or scripture analysis of what this thing's about. And if you bought any textbook of demonology, you'd find none of that. Because all the scholars think they're smart enough to correct the Word of God, especially the King James Bible, so they correct it, and when they do, they lose their shirt. They can't understand what they're dealing with. Turn to Acts 16. Acts 16. People say, can a Christian be demon-possessed? The answer to that is nobody can be demon-possessed. Somebody just made it up. Can a Christian be possessed with the devil? Yes, very definitely. Acts 16, verse 16. Now, you're living in a day and age when America is becoming infested with demons. And if you don't know that, then you haven't been around very much. But you're living in a demoniac, you're in one of the most demoniac areas in the world right here. If it's warm and wet, that's the devil's place right there. Demon-possessed boy in that New Testament often threw himself into fire and water. See, when I say something, I'm not just talking. I'm talking from what he said in here that you didn't take time to check to see whether what I said was so or not. That demon-possessed boy in there goes into fire and goes into water. Those two things. That's what people like to look at. They like to look at fire and water. That's what kids like to play with. Fire and water. You want the most demon-possessed place in the world? I can tell you where they are. They're Cairo, Egypt. Manila. Honolulu. Los Angeles. San Diego. New Orleans. Miami. Natchez. Baltimore. Marseille. I know they are. They're in warm, wet places. That's where they'll be. All right, Acts chapter 16, verse 16. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, and so forth and so on, And Paul turns around, verse 18, and said to the Spirit, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now, there is between my mouth and your ear something in the air. You step outside that door, there's something in the air. The trouble is Americans, being innately stupid and superstitious, forget what's going on. Let me illustrate. I'm here this morning. Suppose I have me a shortwave radio set. I pick up a shortwave radio set. I got it in my hand like this. And I turn this thing on. And I pick up Brussels, Belgium. And that guy in Brussels, Belgium, is in a studio in front of a microphone. He says something to that mic. And I pick it up here in less than 2 seconds after he says it. How do you explain that? Fellas, those electromagnetic waves, yeah, I know all the baloney, but think about it. The guy's voice crossed the Atlantic. Have you ever been across the Atlantic? That's a mess of water out there, you know that? Then it came through New York and crossed across, came down across Louisville and Knoxville and Memphis, went across St. Louis and Oklahoma City and back through El Paso and across Deming and Bakersfield and showed up here. That quick. How do you explain that? Fellow says, yeah, but now think about that thing a minute. In plain words, if I was on top of a tower, 200 feet in the air, or 50 feet underground, turn that thing on with the right picking up equipment, I could pick the guy up. That fellow is talking, his voice is going through the ground. You don't believe it? Go under the ground, pick him up, and radio under the ground. It's going through the ground and through the air just that quick. You know what that means? That means right in this room, there are about 3,000 voices going right through your head. If you don't believe it, just pick a radio up, bring it to church, and turn it on. There they are. You have to plug the thing in the wall. It didn't come in through the light socket. The thing's in the air. Now, you take a thing like that, you live in a day and age when those things are taken for granted. You better think about that a while. You take that old radio like that and take it like that and turn it like that and it picks up Paris instead of Brussels. You take that radio like that and put it like that and walk off from it and the static comes in on it. You walk up to it and the static stops. You walk off from that thing, you know, and it gets dim. You put your hand on the aerial and it picks up. You know what that means? That means that guy's voice is going through your body. That's what that means. Now, here's a bunch of kids fooling with dope. You think you're smart, tripping on drugs. You haven't got the sense God gave a stuff yak. Because when you get fooling with that stuff, you know what you're doing? You're turning your head into a receiver. Now, you'll find the textbook on drugs, and the psychiatrists, they're just as nutty as you are, so they're not going to be able to help you any. But what you got here, suppose that was an on and off switch, and that was a condenser, and that was a resistor, you know, and you dial in channel 50, you know, focus. Now the thing is, God didn't put in your head the equipment to pick that stuff up with, and it's a good thing he didn't. And you get fooling around with drugs, you know what you're getting. Right in this room right here, there are 10 TV channels and 20 cable channels coming right through this room right now. Right now, while I'm talking, right through my head, right through your head, right through the bench, right through the body, there are about 25 AM stations and about 15 FM stations, and that stuff comes through and you get all hopped up, you can't sort it out. And part of this program comes with that one, and this big checkerboard slips off a building and slips across the floor and blows out into fireworks, and they turn into frogs, go hopping down the railroad track, and the train comes at you and goes over your head, you know where you're at. And what you've got going there, you're picking up partial television channels with movies, partial color and partial sound, and you can't straighten them out. Now, there is in the air, in the atmosphere then, something at work. If that Bible's right, no doubt in my mind, there is between my mouth and your ear something in the air that'll prevent you even hearing what I say. Whatever it is, it's invisible. All right, let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly what? What? Say it again.
Seen.
Say it again.
Seen.
How's that for a contradiction? Did you ever see something invisible that was clearly seen? That's what it says. It says the invisible things are clearly seen. How do you see them? Being understood by the things that are made. Now, when God wants to show a fellow something, he has a habit he follows, and he always does it the same way. When God wants to show a fellow something, he says, you know what that is? The man says, no. So, you know what that is? Fellow says, yes. Well, it says, okay, that is like that. That's called a similitude. Well, if you want to know what unsaved men are like, they're like dogs. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. You ever study dogs? You ever watch dogs closely? You know what it says unsaved women are like? Pigs. 2 Peter 2, 22. When God wanted to pick something for unsaved people, he picked the two filthiest animals on this earth. When a German says Schweinhund, he's calling you the worst thing he can call you. That's a pig dog. When the Bible speaks about hell, it says, you want to know what hell's like? The fellow says, no. He says, you know what a city dump is like? Yeah, it's like a city dump. In those days, blood, dung, garbage, fire, maggots, and ashes. It's like that. Now, when God wants to show you what demons are like, he must make it so clear that you can see it. And he'll make it so clear you can see it. Let's turn to Matthew 13. Get Matthew 13 in one hand, and get Mark chapter 4 in the other. Matthew 13, Mark 4. Nothing like a Bible to clear up the seminary education. Matthew 13, Mark chapter 4. Folks, I just don't understand the Bible. You'll understand more than you care before you get through. Folks, I need a new Bible. You need a new Bible like a baby kangaroo needs a cradle. You don't need a new Bible. You need to read the one you got.
Amen.
Matthew 13, Mark 4. You have trouble understanding the archaic words, do you? Let's see if you do. Matthew 13, 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which is sown in his heart. The wicked one. Who's the wicked one, Lord, in that parable? Look at verse 4. Verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. The Bible speaks the devil likes into a fowl, F-O-W-L. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 4, parable. It came to pass, he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. What's the interpretation? Verse 15. And these are they which by the wayside were the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes. That takes away the word and sown the hearts. Whatever the devil is in operating through unclean spirits and devils, the thing resembles a bird. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Whatever these things are, they have wings. Somebody said fallen angels. Nonsense. Mary Magdalene had seven of them. How do you get seven fallen angels in anybody's body? The old scholastics argued about how many angels in the head of a pin. You know why they argued about that? They confuse angels with devils. Whatever devils were, you could evidently get, maybe might be able to get one on the head of a pin, because the maniac of Gadara had a thousand in him. Whoever those things are, they must be pretty small. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth cast out devils, not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Beelzebub. You know who he is? That's the Lord of filth. You look at a dictionary, you know what it says? It says the Lord of the flies. The God of the flies. They're small. They're dirty. They have wings. Let's look at it some more. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Scripture with scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. I know two of small winged things that will be perfect types of devils. Flies and mosquitoes. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 20. Ecclesiastes 10, 20. He said, they're not fowls. You know, the Bible calls fowls, in Leviticus 11, it calls grasshoppers fowls. It also called locust fowls. Ecclesiastes 10:20, curse not the king, nor not in thy thought. Curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell of the matter. You know what that says? That's when you and your wife go to bed at night, back in the bedroom, get talking, nobody hears what you say. There's someone in that room that's picking you up. Your room is, I believe the expression is, bugged. Is that it? The room is bugged. And when you finish, something goes out that window and reports what you said. Did you ever hear the women talk? One woman said, where'd you get that from? And she says, a little bird told me. Isn't that a strange thing? What do you suppose Alfred Hitchcock had in mind when he wrote The Birds? Or was it The Bird Watchers? No, it was Jonathan Seagull, wasn't it? Or was it The Birdman of Alcatraz? It must have been something like that. Or One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, was it? There's nothing new under the sun. Amen. If you got a King James Bible, you got their number before they move. You know what the Americans say? They see as bats in the belfry. The Germans say, Herr Heilein Vogel, he's got a bird. Or you say, bird brain. See that stuff? Let's see about them birds. Leviticus chapter 11. Strictly for the birds. Leviticus 11. Isn't it strange how slow people are to grasp the thing? For instance, what I'm telling you right now, don't you know you'd have known everything what I'd said if you'd read three chapters in Matthew? If you read three chapters in Matthew, you'd have got the whole thing. You know what happened to Jesus Christ when he was baptized in Matthew 3? The Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a what? You see that thing? It was laid right in front of your face. You were told that spirits were represented by winged animals. And you were shown it. You couldn't have possibly missed it. Yet if you buy Unger's book in demonology or any great scholar work in demonology, you'll find the poor, dumb, blind, stumbling bum don't know where he's on how to get there. He can't figure the thing out. He can't figure the thing out because he's rejected this book. Went to the Greek. Went to the Hebrew. Came out with a mess of pottage. But don't you know what Noah did in the ark when he sent out the first bird? It was a raven. And didn't come back. Next one he sent out was a dove, type of the Holy Spirit. Leviticus 11, verse 14. Now here are a list of animals or birds you're not to eat. They're unclean meat. Leviticus 11, 14. These shall not be eaten. Verse 11, 13. The eagle, the ossifrage, the osprey, the vulture, the kite, every raven after his kind, the owl, the nighthawk, the cuckoo, the hawk, the little owl, the cormorant, the great owl, the swan, the pelican, the gear eagle, the stork, the heron after the kind, the lapwing, and the bat. All fowls that creep going upon all four, you shall be an abomination. Yet these may eat of every flying, creeping thing that goeth upon all four, grasshoppers, 22, locusts, so forth and so on. They're classified as fowl. Now, you know what's so interesting about those birds? Let's turn to Revelation 18. Scripture was Scripture. Martin Luther says, sola scriptura, Scripture alone. The Scriptures are their own best interpreter. Revelation 18. Revelation 18. No college education is required. No high school education is required. If you can read a morning newspaper, you can understand everything I'm saying. Revelation 18:2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of, watch it, devils, plural, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. There it is. Isaiah chapter 34. Scripture was Scripture. Isaiah 34. The Scriptures interpret themselves. You have a King James Bible, you have the supreme authority of the universe, and there's nothing equal to it or even in the running. Isaiah 34. You have a King James Bible, you have access to information that no scientist, no scholar has access to at all who doesn't believe it. You think I'm spreading on a bit thick? Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they're ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Boy, how's that for an egotistical boast? I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients. I know what about the Rosicrucians, or the Tibetan monks, and the Lamas, and the Himalayan, and Shangri-La, or Shambhala. They have the hidden wisdom with the hidden eye in the center, and I've already got it. I forgot it 20 years ago. Got something real here. Isaiah 34, verse 9. Watch it carefully. Bible's, it's still the most shocking book in print. There's nothing like it. Do you have a buzzing in your ears? You pick up the telephone, you hear strange voices? That says the wrong number. Isaiah 34, 9. And the stream thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust shall be brimstone, the land shall be burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day, the smoke thereof shall go up forever and ever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste, none shall pass through it forever and ever. Look what you just read. 9 and 10, look at it. What are you reading about there? What does it look like to you? It's hell. What are these birds doing in hell? Verse 11, the cormorant, it's a bird. The bittern, it's a bird. The owl, it's a bird. The raven, it's a bird. Verse 14, the screech owl, it's a bird. Verse 15, the great owl, it's a bird. Verse 15, the vulture, it's a bird. The unclean birds. Those are the unclean birds you read about in Leviticus 11. They're in hell. You know what those things are? Those are spirits. Those are unclean spirits. Now, in this matter, what happens is this. If this book is right, and no doubt in my mind, when I said, I've got any doubts about it all. If this book is right, there is actively working through the atmosphere of any country in this world, the whole world lieth in wickedness. It's this stuff in the air. And this stuff goes through and in and out and passes through and in and out. And what these poor apostate Christians today are doing, they're going all this country saying, greater is he that is new than he that is in the world. Greater is he new than he, greater is glad, whatever. When you hear a fellow quoting all the time, that's somebody who's fooling with demons. That verse won't keep a demon off your back. That verse doesn't tell you anything. It states a fact. It can't accomplish anything for you. People are funny about how they use Scripture. I quote this verse. Greater is he that is in me than he in the world. What does that mean? It doesn't mean a cotton-picking thing if something isn't done about it. Turn to 1 Corinthians. I'll show you what happens to Christians who think that greater is he that is in than he that is in the world. I'll show what happens to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's one of them right here. Going to bed with his mother. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. They have a word for it out in the world. You find the basketball players and the football players using it. Don't get shocked with me. Get shocked with the company you keep. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly there is fornication among you, such as fornication, as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. The one should have his father's wife. There it is. So what do you do? Verse 5. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. There's a Christian who's turned over to the devil. Greater is he that is in you than he in the world. So what? The devil wound him up. Let me show you another case. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. The fact the Lord is in you is no insurance for anything except going to hell. I mean, thank God the Lord is in you. That shows you have a chance. That shows you if you utilize what's there, you can overcome and have the victory. But if you don't utilize what's there, you're just wasting your time quoting Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. 1 Timothy 1, 20. Paul writing about a couple of compatriots here. 1 Timothy 1, 20. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Let's try it again. First Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 13. 1 Corinthians 6:13. Can the devil get a hold of a Christian? If he can get a hold of you, and take everything you've got. You get everything you got except your soul. That's all he can't get. The rest of it, he can clean house. The devil came to God about Job one time and said, did Job fear God for naught? They got talking after a while. The Lord said, okay, go down and get what he's got, but don't touch him. Went down there and cleaned Job out, got his kids, got his property, got his cattle, got all his money. Job sat on an ash heap, said, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord, and all this Job did not charge God foolishly or sin with his lips. The wife said, curse God and die. He said, we receive good at the hand of God, shall we not receive evil? But the devil goes up again and says, put forth your hand now and touch his flesh, and he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord said, okay, go and hit him, but don't take his life. You know what the Lord would have said the third time, if there'd been a third time? He'd have said, take his life, but don't take his soul. And that's how it goes with a child of God. All right, 1 Corinthians 6:13. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Verse 16, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to the harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth without the body, but that he commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. For this body is the Lord's. How can the devil possess it? It's God's possession. So what do? He turns them over to Satan for destruction of the flesh, and the flesh gets the body. The fact that that's God's possession means nothing if you don't take care of it. God will just take it and destroy it. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. You think I'm pulling your leg? Read it. 1 Corinthians 3:16. The devil can clean you out. I don't care how whether you're saved or not. Don't make a difference. You underestimate the devil. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God what? What? Again. Again. I want to make sure you know what you're reading. People have a funny way of reading the scripture, not seeing what they're reading. You read it. All right, 1 Corinthians 11. Folks, I just can't stand all this negativism. That's the age you live in. You live in a day and age when everybody wants to be buttered up and placated and have syrup and sugar pour all over them, and nobody wants to get upset. And the reason why they want to get upset is because they're all living like the devil, keeping filthy company and having filthy thoughts. When they come to church on Sunday morning, they want somebody to arrest them so they don't have a psychotic spasm. They want kind of a seance, kind of a meditation time, you know, to share the good things with them. I'm here to tell you that if you don't live right, don't try to live right, the devil will take everything you've got except your soul. And if he could get that, he'd get that too, if he could. All right, 1 Corinthians 11:30. For this cause many are weak. Weak Christians. 1 Corinthians 11:30. Weak. And many sickly among you. Sick Christians. And many sleep. Dead Christians. Dead Christians. Weak, sick Christians, sick Christians. One more time with feeling. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3:15. You not only can lose your health and your life, you can lose your rewards, the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:16 or 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. You can lose your works. Now, Christian people, you may be saved, and if you are saved, thank God you're saved. Anything is better than going to hell. And if you're not saved, you ought to get saved. But when you get saved, don't kid yourself about your power. Paul says, we are those that rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ and put no confidence in the flesh. Paul says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I can't trust my flesh as far as I can kick this balloon in the left foot. That means how long you've been saved. Right now I'm capable of committing a worse sin a man could possibly commit. Right now, right this minute. With the right motive and the right opportunity and the right deception by the devil and the right kind of a hole, it could happen. And the first time you get thinking, well, it wouldn't happen to me, then that's where the devil begins to work you over and push you on down the line. Now, you take this thing right here. I'll tell you what the devil can get on you. He gets your head and your eyes and your mouth and your nose and your teeth and your liver and your bladder and your intestine and your stomach and your arms, your leg, your fingers and your hair and your ears. You get that much of you. He gets your testimony, the joy of your salvation, your witness for Christ, the fruit that you bear for Christ, your reward at the judgment seat of Christ, your millennial inheritance, your health, and your life. Now, if that isn't possession, it's a pretty good hunk. If that isn't possession, you better have to find out what possession is. And folks say, can a Christian be demon-possessed? Well, it depends what you mean by that. If you mean by that, can the demon get a hold of a Christian to where he goes to hell? The answer is no. But if you mean, can a demon get such control of a Christian that he gets his whole life and ruins it? Yes. Yes, very definitely yes. And I've seen it. I've not seen it once or twice or five times or ten times. I've seen it over and over and over and over and over. In 34 years, I've certainly seen it at least 68 times. That's a good couple of dozen, where a Christian just doesn't use the means available. You can't sit there and say, well, because the one that is me is greater than the one out there, therefore I'm foolproof. These silly charismatics say, well, the body can't be a dwelling place for more than one spirit, and if the Lord is mayor, the devil can't get in. You're cuckoo. You're cuckoo. In the spirit world, those spirits pass right through and right by each other. Let me ask you a question. How many of you believe that God is omnipresent? That is, God, being what he is present everywhere at once. Let me see your hands. Well, of course. David said, whither shall I flee from my presence if I make my bed in hell while I'm there? Well, tell me something. If God is everywhere, don't you know all those unclean spirits are working inside him? They're working on this earth, aren't they? Doesn't God cover this earth? You see what I mean? All that stuff. There can't be two in the same place. No, you're wrong. The Holy Spirit can be in there, and the Holy Spirit so quenched and so grieved and so confined in his control over you that the devil's got control of you and got control over all the rest. All right, brothers, that time about up?
Yeah, I've got
about 2 minutes. About 2 minutes. All right, I'll stop there. That's about enough to cover it. Not to scare the fire of everybody. And it won't do you any harm to get scared. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Amen.
You get it to you saying, help you be more careful. Because grace that taught my heart to fear, grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. When I get up to the youth camps, talk to a bunch of young people, I have kind of a funny approach. You probably gather that by now. But when I approach them, when I get up there the first night, I always say, as I look out across this vast crowd of young people with these eager, glowing faces and realize how many of you never mount the hill of beans, my heart sinks down in my shoes and associates with my brain. And somebody says, my God, what a negative way to start things, you know. But that's my method. And I tell you why I do that. I figure if a young guy's got anything to him, he'll rise to take the challenge. I figure if you call a young fellow a numbskull and a blockhead and a meathead and a book brain and a stupid and yelling a coward, if he's got anything to him, he'll say, well, we'll see about that. And he'll prove himself to be something. And if he doesn't, he ain't worth fooling anyway. It's kind of a GI approach, you know. That's how I was it back in those days. I tell him back in the old days, take the scabbard off your bayonet, stick me, you blankety blank. You couldn't stick the broadside of a barn. Come on, you so-and-so. You know, give them a motivation. I'd be like, now, I look at those young people and I say, I'm going to tell you right now in this crowd who's going to survive. And if the Lord tarries in 10, 15 years, I can tell you the young man in this building's going to come out on top. First night I meet him, don't even know the names. And I say, who's that? I say, the Bible said, he that feareth God shall come forth of them all.
Amen.
The young man, a young woman that fears God and doesn't fear men will come out on top. And the young man that fears men doesn't fear God will come out in the bottom.
Amen.
Every time, back an average 1,000. All right, brother. Go ahead. Thank you.